Dover, which is actually not the Dover Shire, is it?
It's not
Yeah, thank you very much. I think most of you have heard this before, the Pension Fund Committee. The first part anyway. Let's just take you through it. The data improvement plan that we put in place was basically two-pronged approach, where we were looking at historical data and we were looking at future data. Now, ITM were procured to look at rectifying our historical data. Claire was brought in to actually manage our data improvement plan, really, and move that further forward. If I look at the future data is using iConnect, but we've had to put that on a bit of a slow burner at the moment because of the amount of work that we actually had to do to finish off the historical data with ITM. Now, the plan with ITM was a 6 months agreement. It was due to finish on the 31st of December. Unfortunately, we've only just had the sign off of the meeting. It was the 21st of May was when we actually completed the plan. The reason it was extended was because it took ITM 4 months to assess the data, so we weren't having any progress with them at all, even though we were having regular meetings, but we just couldn't get anything out of them. So we're pleased to say it is now complete. The records that we were looking at was 1,944 records. As you can see in E1, the actual number that was rectified was 2,210, and the reason being is because when there was 266 which were aggregations, which is where you combine two pensions together. So we may have had a record that didn't have the correct information. When that record was completed, then it meant that we had to do an aggregation because that was in the scheme rules that we had to do it. So the reason the numbers have increased is because of that one task. Once it's completed, they had to do another task to complete. From our point of view, what we've learned doing the procurement with data improvement is that ITM are a really, really respected company. They did a lot of business with the GMP reconciliation, and I think that was their main focus, their main drive. The data improvement stuff, I think we were one of the first that they engaged with.
Okay.
So the learnings they had were probably greater than the learnings that we had. And one of the other issues they did have is the engagement with the outside payroll officers, payroll providers, Strictly and Capita. Strictly engaged quite well. Capita had a number of employee changes, the payroll manager left, and it was a struggle to get some traction and get some information going from them. I think the one positive for us we'll take from this is that we had built a really good, strong relationship with Strictly Education, and the good part for us is most of our schools have outsourced with Strictly. So we now have a really good relationship with the payroll manager, who Claire has built quite a strong relationship with, and going forward I think he's been a real help to us, not just in the local government area but also in the teacher pension area as well. So that's an absolute positive for us. If I say that the other good thing, if I wear my other hat, which is a payroll manager, we've just taken in 10 schools for payroll, and the positive side for that for pensions is that we now can manage the data that comes from payroll. And as the teams sit together, it's very easy for our payroll pensions officers to get the data they want from our payroll officers. So that's a positive going forward. I would say it's been quite an experience. I would also say that possibly we wouldn't use ITM again in this situation. And not until I think the communication part from our point of view with them was they were quite poor.
I think from our, as an employer, that's what we found. So I know you had a lot of discussions with our payroll officer, didn't you, for the same reason. So.
And to be fair, it wasn't just yourself.
No.
They had numerous issues with numerous employers as well. So we fed that back to them.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry, we fed.
And what are they doing anything different, do you know, as a result of that?
They've taken on board the communication part, because I think that's fundamental. You know, for 4 months we've been asking questions and we weren't getting the answers.
Yeah.
until we got the director involved, right, things didn't start to move. But as far as we're concerned, they were just analysing the data. If we understood what they were doing with the data, and we could feed that back, because obviously we had the pressure of the pension regulator as well.
Yes, yeah.
And we weren't showing any movement forward. That fundamentally would be the way forward for us, is that communication would be a massive part of that.
Okay.
They did say that, didn't they? That one of the lessons they've learned was how they kick other projects off has changed as a result of the project they went through that. So
okay. Interesting.
I think the other thing in between time, the project manager changed, didn't they? We weren't, the engagement there wasn't, and they changed the project manager. If you see from the initial start, the project manager on the end report is not the project manager at the start.
Right.
So we did have some questions about
that. Okay.
But no, it's really positive. It's put us in a really good position. I know the team, the whole idea of procuring this SWAT team was that it wouldn't have an impact on our day-to-day, or our individual members of the team, but it has, because we've actually had to do quite a bit of work to make sure we get what we want.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that we outlined, how we wanted it done, it wasn't done that way. We actually did spend most of the time checking, didn't we?
Yeah, hence why
the
iConnect has been
So do we have any, if they didn't do quite what you wanted and they took a lot longer to do it?
They've done a little bit extra, so if you look at what extra they've done for us, which is fine, but we did withhold payment.
Okay, that's what
we withheld payment until we've got what we wanted.
Okay.
We paid the contractually agreed amount.
Yeah.
Eventually,
no, it's what I
a long time after they invoiced us for it. We didn't pay any extra that they wanted to ask for the overrun.
They did ask.
Yeah, they did.
They did
and
ask.
We didn't pay for any additional licenses so they could put more resources on it either.
No, they paid for those.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So they were very happy when the project was closed eventually because they got their money.
Yeah.
Good point.
We were happy because we got the warranty here.
Yes, definitely. And regarding iConnect, and you said you had to put it on the slow burner because of what's happened with this project. When will that start to?
That is next on my radar.
Okay.
Literally speaking about that half an hour before we came in here. So we've got some test data from one of our other employers that have already built the specifications in their payroll system. So as we speak, I've got that data that we're just having a look. We need to compare that with what's on the admin system just to make sure that all the fields will align and go into the right place and the quality of that data. But the employer is generally quite a good employer, like yourselves, so we're quite happy to start there. It's the next big folk, really. I mean, we've got end of year evaluation still kind of kicking around at the moment. So as soon as we're kind of quite happy with that, then that'll be the next focus.
Okay, so then you'll tell us sort of what date plan.
Yeah, we'll do is then what Claire's going to do is some employer engagement.
Yeah. I was going to say
that's what we're
going to
try and do.
Thing,
so we'll look at some of the smaller ones first, and because there's a different process from what we want to talk to you about from the smaller ones. And Claire will be looking at how we deal with the smaller ones first and then get the ball rolling on that front anyway.
Right, okay.
The thing about the test data we've got, it was actually put together by Shropshire, so we're quite confident that if they put something together, then it should be really good.
Yeah.
So we're quite happy with that.
Okay. So you don't have any sort of concerns at this stage?
Not at the moment. I think we're going to start with the employers we have the better relationships with.
Yeah.
So I know that I've already spoken to yourselves, and there's Kevin's got the specification on what he needs to do. But I appreciate it's been a long time since ITM happened.
I think that was what would be good, isn't it? Just re-engaging with the employers again.
From our point of view, is we want to get it right.
Yeah.
So we're taking a little bit longer just to get what we need to do and then roll it out.
Yeah.
And we'd rather roll it out a bit later.
Definitely. Yeah.
Quality rather than not.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Okay. Great.
So looking at year-end data process, I've got update now on this one is. So 85% of our employees, we've got all the data we asked for, we've got in, from all employers.
Okay.
We've now completed 85% of the employers, and that equates to 95% of the employees. So what that means is that we're only going to be really looking at smaller employees going forward. We've got about 200 records to post, and then that will be our end of year done. That leads on very nicely to the valuation, because I've got some better figures now. So I've got figures from the 14th of June that are, if you look at the, So if you look at the 31st of May 2019, total critical errors were just over 1,200. On the 14th of June, we're now down to just over 600 critical errors. Now we need to get all those critical errors down to zero to actually run it through our valuation portal. But the good news is that we've got 200 postings to go, which will bring that down to just over 400. And then we've got to do care evaluation, which should hopefully wipe out most of the rest.
Okay.
So the position we are, I know Jo's put the figures in here, 26th of July. I don't remember those figures, Jo. I remember being a lot higher.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. That's the only email I could find in the same format.
from my point of view, when we look at the 31st of March 19 figure, which was just under 7,000, when I ran the first reports in 2016, it was 13,500 critical errors. Mm. But that was after we'd done the postings.
Okay.
This is postings done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
quite a difference.
So the IGN data had a big impact on that.
Impact.
Yeah.
And then the end of your processing is
And I think from my point of view, the valuation this year I felt really comfortable with.
Yeah.
Because having a bigger team to deal with.
Yeah.
Most of the team have been involved in the valuation.
Okay.
And I asked one of the team members to be a project lead on it, who is quite analytical.
Yeah.
And has been dealing with the actuaries with some really, 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 really intelligent questions, and been getting some good answers back, which has helped us understand the process a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we're in a really, really strong position. I think the end of the valuation is, was it 31st
of July? 31st of July is our deadline.
July is our deadline, and we're very,
very
hopeful that we'll have all the data to Hyman's by that point.
We're more than hopeful, we're confident.
We are very confident. I think 2016, it was September, was it?
End of October.
Mm. Wow, that's quite a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a huge amount of difference.
Yeah.
So the amount of work that the team have put in to cleanse the data, because it's not only they're working on different things, so it's not only the data for the valuation, but it's also the data that the TPR are looking at. So we've looked at all postcodes and all that sort of thing, for common data, where we may fall down. So the guys have been doing a huge amount of cleansing, not just on the calculation part of it, but on actually the bit that the other bit where is the important data.
Okay, great.
Has anybody got any questions?
Aside from the critical errors, I think last time it was reported that they had to make a lot of assumptions in data quality.
Yes.
So does that get rid of the assumptions that you made last time?
Okay.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. So we're hoping to go through without assumptions being made on these.
We're confident.
We will go through
without. And that raises a really interesting point, actually, because until I was on this board, I wouldn't have known that assumptions were made last time. So in our pension rates, I might.
If you look at the data improvement plan, came specifically from the 2016 valuation.
Oh yes, absolutely.
And that's where they made assumption on just over 1,000 records with the valuation. That's what it was made on.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
So effectively, at the time when we put the valuation, there were, I think, 1,057. That's how ingrained it was.
Approximately.
We worried about that figure.
We lived, ate, breathed, sleeped that one. There was no final salary, there was no care salary, but there was no leaver data. So we had to make an assumption that those people had left. And so that kind of skewed our active numbers and our deferred numbers, which is why we had issues with our external auditors. And there was an assumption made in agreement with the actuaries that if there was no posting for final salary, and we knew when their last posting was, that those people left on the date of their last posting. And we assumed that they were deferred, so therefore there was no blah, 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 blah. So there was a bit of a wobble there that we had to make some assumptions.
The other
that
issue
was literally
we, yeah.
in October when we were anticipating having the results in November.
Yeah. The other issue we do have, or we did have, was that you can't tell a casual worker on the system. So if somebody hasn't been paid for a year,
okay.
but
they're still
actually
on
the books,
yeah.
there was no way. So what we did is we looked at putting a penny in. So we posted a penny to then it doesn't throw up the fact that they are still on the system because there may be in future a pension contribution made for them. But equally, from a valuation point of view, there's a posting there which doesn't create a critical error. So there's a number of things that we have learned from it. But going
yeah.
forward with iConnect, iConnect will actually interface to show whether somebody's casual or not. So that's another good reason for us to take that further forward.
Definitely. Can I just ask one other question?
Yeah.
Could you just explain what you define as a critical error?
It's where it's outside of the actuary's parameters.
Right.
So a critical error would be that we've got them active on the system, but actually we haven't posted a salary for them.
Okay.
So it's
okay.
It's something like that. So that's a critical error. They do get fatal errors as well.
We haven't got any fatal errors.
We did last time.
We haven't got any now.
Okay.
But
right.
there's a critical
yeah.
errors which we cannot proceed with the valuation until
yeah.
those are resolved.
Okay.
So that's where the assumption had to come in last time. And then there's amber warnings and
blue warnings.
And the amber warnings are things that are potentially inconsistent
okay.
within the valuation
yes.
data now. So for example, you've got somebody who's might be missing a postcode, or
yeah.
they're over 75 or something. It's not
okay.
something that you could stop that would prevent you posting, but it's something that you might want to look at.
Yeah.
And then there's blue warnings, which I think are, it's slightly inconsistent between last valuation
yeah.
and this
okay.
valuation. Adrian in the admin team has been asking some very, very sensible questions of the actuaries. I think the actuaries are a bit surprised at the
okay.
level of questioning that they're getting from us.
Yeah.
But actually what it's coming back with is the actuaries are then coming back to us and saying, yes, this is the reason why, but you don't need to worry about that one because we're not concerned. So as long as
okay.
what we're taking the view, I think, at the moment is we will look at those errors, we'll identify what they are, we'll look into them and see why they've happened, and then note that they're not important or that we can adjust that after the valuation. So the aim is to eliminate all of the critical errors and reduce as many of
yeah.
the amber and blue errors as we can,
yeah.
but at least be aware of what the amber and blue
yeah.
warnings are saying.
Mm.
So
and sometimes there's
better.
A theme in it as
well.
Well.
That's the
and
thing,
you might
yeah.
close off one and it actually closes off a few on maybe a critical or a blue.
Yeah.
So that it's not necessary that they're all that. It's just that if we clear a few of those, that they're actually reduced down. So
yeah.
And some of them are things like the postcode is in the incorrect format, but
yeah.
they're deferred members who live in Spain.
Right, okay.
So therefore,
so it would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 But we've got a record of those now, so when we do the valuation report, we can go,
right.
actually, we know about these.
Okay.
So
yeah.
the actuaries actually know exactly what we've looked at. So, yeah, I'm really pleased. The team have done, Claire's done a magic job
yeah.
at putting this through, and we're in a really, really,
mm.
really strong position.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, does anyone else have any questions at that stage? No?